Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Over the weekend, more than 600 people were arrested across the country, including about 40 right here in Metro New York, as federal immigration and customs enforcement officers conducted raids to capture what the agency categorized as people in violation of some sort of immigration law. That's very vague language, as they were quoted in the Times. Are these arrests of violent criminals who are also here illegally, who Obama went after too? Or is this the beginning of a broader unauthorized immigrant sweep, as many immigrants have feared Donald Trump might start? With me now are Liz Robbins, immigration reporter for the New York Times Metro section, and Caitlin Dickerson, a Times National reporter. Liz and Caitlin, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners, we want your stories and your questions. First of all, help us report this story if you know anything personally. Do you know anyone caught up in these raids, especially if they weren't a serious felon? How is your family, how is your community bracing for more? Or do you even object when violent felons are removed from the country, if that's all it is? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Caitlin, that quote from ICE, from the article, people in violation of some sort of immigration law. Boy, is that vague.
It is vague. And when you look at the executive order most recently signed by the president on January 5th regarding interior enforcement, the language is really just as vague. So the Obama administration made an effort, especially in its last years, to focus on people who were convicted of serious crimes, so felony crimes, or a series of serious misdemeanor crimes. The executive order is really broadening the group of immigrants who are considered deportable to include anyone convicted of any crime at all, but not just that, anyone who's been charged with any crime at all, or anyone who is believed to have committed any crime at all. So incredibly vague.
Or even, and I read the executive order and was also struck by how broad it is, anyone who lied to any kind of official about their immigration status.
Right. And that can include sort of a more official misrepresentation of your immigration status when you show up for a job and you provide a false social security number, for example. But it could also include speaking to a police officer on the street and telling them that you're here legally when you're not.
But that language that's so broad in the executive order itself does seem to contradict what Trump has been saying publicly when he makes appearances, which is that we're going to go after violent felons. We're going to increase public safety. We're going to go after those people first. And his, you know, spokespeople, Kellyanne Conway and others, are also being out there kind of trying to reassure, it seems, people who have DACA protection or other people who are otherwise law-abiding but here illegally, that they're not in their sights right away. So do you see mixed messages coming from the administration?
Definitely mixed messages, excuse me. And over the weekend, we were in contact with the Department of Homeland Security, who said basically nothing has changed since the Obama administration. And yet we saw that numbers had changed. We looked at a press release from Secretary Kelly of the Department of Homeland Security that came out yesterday, where he said 75% of those 600-plus arrests were criminals. So that's not as high as under the Obama administration. The most recent numbers for fiscal year 2016, over 90% were criminals. So clearly people being caught up as collateral, they refer to it, people who aren't necessarily criminals are being targeted but are being arrested. And then, of course, we saw Donald Trump tweet on Sunday, you know, the crackdown on immigration is, I won't quote him exactly, but essentially he said it was a fulfillment of his campaign promise.
And have the undocumented immigrants who were arrested in the raid over the weekend been convicted of serious or violent crimes, or were people who committed minor violations or even in lower categories that you described from the executive order actually swept up? Because that's been very hard for me to figure out from the reporting I've seen in the press, which seems not to be able to nail that down.
That's because we're not being told. We have tried to nail that down, Brian, and we also know that who are those 25% who were not caught up in the criminal convictions? it's very, very unclear as of yet who these people are. Advocates and lawyers are still trying to determine, were these people who were not intended to be the ones arrested, and they were perhaps the collateral arrests if people went to their homes? But I may add that that also happened. These collateral arrests happened under Obama as well. So we are still very unclear, but I will say what has changed, as Caitlin pointed out, that the priorities are completely more broad. And that is what is causing the fear in the immigrant communities and also causing a lot of rumors. I saw ICE here. I saw ICE there. Who could be next? Where most of these actions were actually targeted enforcement, according to ICE, that they had been planning for at least a week.
Yeah, there was this quote of ICE agency officials in your story that caught my eye, that the arrests in New York had not been impromptu and had been planned around individuals' routines, adding that a fuller account would be available today. Do you have that account yet?
Well, they did say that there were 41 people arrested. That was yesterday. And they gave three examples of people who were criminals, and it included a sexual assault crime and an MS-13 gang member arrested. And people, of course, were cheering that, because this has been a very big problem on Long Island, knowing that the gangs have been responsible for 11 murders alone last year.
With New York Times reporters Liz Robbins and Caitlin Dickerson, Suleiman in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling in. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. A long-time listener, first-time participant.
Glad you're in.
My name is Suleiman Koulibaly. I'm from Mali, West Africa. And I live here. I'm a single father with my two kids. But this issue really sent a panic in, you know, African community. A friend of mine got picked up in the Bronx by that way. He doesn't have a criminal record, but he has a deportation against him. He has a case in process, but they sent him already, one in Guinea, one in Senegal. And a lot of my friends already talking about moving to Canada. It really sent a big panic in African community here in New York City.
There's a general perception in the country that they're mostly interested in Mexicans. In your experience, is that not the case?
No, not the case. I know as I'm speaking to you right now, they have 44 Malian in detention right now, 55 Guinea, 27 Senegalese. So this raid is a broad, you know, reach. It doesn't limit to Mexican. It targets all immigrants here in the United States. People are calling me from Michigan. People are so panicked, and a lot of people are even thinking about moving to Canada.
Suleiman, you mentioned that this panic is spreading throughout the community. Are you stopping your usual activities? Are you doing anything different because you're afraid to go out?
Definitely, definitely. And like I say, I'm a single father with two kids. I myself live here for 29 years. I came here in 1989. Since Bush's father was the president. And I have the legal custody of my kid. I have a case going through right now through immigration. I'm not being fully approved. I have a work authorization. But believe me, even come home at night, I work all night. I don't come till like after 11 or 12 in the afternoon, because most of the time, those raids are committed early in the morning.
You said you have a work authorization?
Yes.
This is, and Caitlin, maybe you want to weigh in on this, something that leaders of immigrant communities are dealing with, and it's very complicated. When to try to tell people to be really, really careful and actually change their behavior, and when to reassure people that they don't have to go, you know, underground in some way or another, because maybe they're not in a category who the government would be so interested in.
Yeah, Suleiman, what you're talking about is something that advocates actually right now are really worried about, because when panic spikes, people change their activities, and that includes often people in a panic apply for some sort of immigration relief, some sort of visa that they're not eligible for, and that's the quickest way to put yourself on the federal government's radar as someone who's here unauthorized. Doesn't sound like you're in that situation, but certainly people with work authorization, that's a temporary benefit, and it doesn't give you any authorization, as you know, to be in the United States legally. And another thing that I think is worth pointing out, we keep talking about collateral arrests, and so I think it's worth fleshing out a little bit of what these targeted enforcement efforts, which a lot of advocates call raids — ICE doesn't like the term raids — what they look like. So ICE will identify somebody.
One last thing I want to mention very quick. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Please.
There is a message going on a group message on Viber right now within my community that they're arresting people on Penn Station in Flushing in Jamaica, Queens. So people should be aware of those kind of places to stay away from that.
Today? Do you mean today?
Today.
So
I can send you the message if I get your reference to that. They're sending the group message to our African community, so people to be aware of Penn Station, Jamaica, Queens by the train station, and Flushing, Queens.
Do you want to send it by email, or should we take information off the air from you?
Yeah, take my information off the air. I'm going to send you the text so that you can review yourself.
Terrific. Thank you.
Suleiman, thank you so much. So you've got that control room. Talk to Suleiman off the air and get that information from him. And that's news to me that any sweep might be going on today, but would that be – and, of course, we can't confirm it just because a caller said it. But, Liz, is this consistent with what you would expect, or Caitlin, or what might happen on a given day in and around the city?
This is consistent with what we heard over the weekend, where there were reports, oh, they're at this bus station, or they're here, and they're in Flushing. So I would – caution the listeners that this could very much be part of the rumor mill that's going on. I was led to believe by ICE that this specific targeted enforcement action was just last week and that it is not continuing today, but then again, they're not being specific about when and where it is happening.
And I also want to point out that I've been – this is Caitlin – I've been in constant contact with ICE, and with the recent targeted enforcement efforts, rather, and previous targeted enforcements, they're always going after specific individuals. So ICE actually doesn't show up at high traffic areas. It's outside their policy to show up at a high traffic area and just check a bunch of people. They're always going after one person, and more often, the vast majority of these efforts take place in people's homes. So when we say collateral arrests, these are other people who happen to be inside the house when they show up, and they do it really early in the morning because they know people are going to be home. But in all likelihood, it's not accurate that ICE would be doing
at
a vast
Penn Station or
absolutely
the Flushing Main Street bus and subway hub. Probably
or Walmart, as our ICE official did say. But I will also caution, too, that advocates are being very careful in instructing community members to know their rights. And they are saying, don't open the door if ICE is coming, or ask for a warrant, or ask to see a lawyer or to call a lawyer, and that people who are at home, even if it's 5:30 in the morning, do have rights.
My guests are New York Times correspondents Caitlin Dickerson and Liz Robbins, as we get the latest on the first concentrated wave of Trump administration immigration arrests. And we continue to invite your stories, if you know anybody personally affected, or to talk about the talk in your community, 212-433-WNYC. And Lamar in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Hello, Lamar.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Thank you for doing this segment, Brian. I really appreciate it. I'm an American, but I have a lot. My family's from Trinidad, and I have a number of family members who are undocumented, and I'm really deeply worried for them. I think what your guest is saying, knowing your rights, is very important. But I had a larger question. I don't know if the guests can answer it. I have a number of family members who are green card holders and also colleagues of mine where I work. And is it advisable for them to file for citizenship right away? Because can the Trump administration actually change the rule, the filing rules for citizenship? I know that they can't act. They may not be able to change the rules of who can become a citizen, but can they slow the process down to make it very difficult for green card holders to become a citizen? Because I feel like you would have a lot more rights if you actually file as opposed to just being a green card holder. And I really would appreciate an answer on it because I'm worried about my family mm-hmm. members who can be caught up in something that they shouldn't be.
Thank you very much. Can either of you answer that with confidence?
Well, we should not give out legal advice. That's probably the first and most important thing that we should say.
Always good advice for journalists. Don't give legal advice.
I can tell you that I've spent a lot of time talking with immigration lawyers, and many are advising their clients to go ahead and apply for the most secure type of immigration benefit that you can, that you're eligible for. And citizenship is, of course, the strongest guarantee that you'll be able to remain in the country. However, a green card holder who doesn't have a criminal record is not part of the enforcement priorities as laid out in President Trump's executive order, and we don't have any indication that a green card holder who has not violated their immigration status by committing a crime is someone who has to worry.
I think one of the things that we learned, and correct me if I'm, you know, coming to too broad a conclusion here, from the travel ban controversy, is that the status green card holder is, if not sacrosanct, very, very seriously taken by the government as you are really allowed to be here and you are really allowed permanently to be here. So
and yet for a moment you weren't. And so you can understand concern of people like Lamar's family members, because when the executive order on refugee resettlement was signed, it initially applied to green card holders.
Right.
As the New York Times reported, if you left the country, your green card would be gone. Now, the administration quickly reversed that policy, but it was something that green card holders had never experienced before. They thought that they were invincible as long as they didn't commit a crime that that violated their status. And so you can understand these questions, but it's important to point out that as far as we know, it's not an area of focus for the administration.
Jimenez in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jimenez.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Thanks for calling.
I'm actually calling because I was listening in, and the last radio, the last guy that was in the radio, he mentioned that there's raids going on today. So I do courier service. So I'm in the tri-state area. I start in the morning in Jersey, then I go to Long Island, then I come to Queens, and sometimes to Connecticut. Now, I speak to about 100 people on a daily basis. A lot of them have to be, you know, some of them are immigrants, some of them that have immigrant families. Now, raids have been going on today, even though you guys did say earlier that, you know, you're not aware of it. But there is a lot of raids going on in Jamaica, Queens. That I know because, actually, I was just in Queens, and a lot of the community is in panic. You know, as you can hear in my voice, you know, it's...
What's the most specific thing you can say about that? Are they going to homes of people who are believed to be criminals?
They're going to known locations of gatherings. Like, for example, let's say these workers are waking up in the morning to catch a gig. Mm-hmm. And, they, for example, this morning they were in Jamaica, Queens in 131st Street. And six officers came and they started approaching these groups. And, you know, basically they started with a procedure, you know, are you here legally? Can, you know, you, basically they start, I don't want to say it's like a lot of these people, they have the language barrier. So they don't understand.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, these people know that, okay, yeah, this is, you fit the profile, and we're going to go ahead and approach this group.
Go ahead. You have a question?
Yes. How do you know that they were ICE officers? Did they have ICE on their jackets? Did you actually hear them ask the questions?
Like I said, these are coming from people that I know. The way that you know that they are at the Homeland Security is because they have, I'm not saying it's sort of a uniform, but they also have the vehicles that belong to Homeland Security. They have the way a law enforcement looks. They have that appearance.
So do
and
you know anybody
they
who...
They are being detained. I, from what I know, it's six people were detained and taken somewhere.
And this was not NYPD.
I want to say that's 80% true. Because, again, you know, this is what I'm hearing from my neighbors. And this is, I live around this area, and I see a lot of activity because I'm literally all over the place. Like I said, I started in Jersey in the morning, and you hear rumors. Then I come to Queens, where mm-hmm. I live, and, you know, my neighbors are telling me, be careful, this is happening. And it's scary. It's just, even though the government doesn't want to say that this is happening, they are really taking this to a different level. Like, we're just working people, you know? So it's not like we want, you know, something like this to happen to us because we have families to take care of.
I hear you. I understand. You have one more question?
Well, it would be really helpful if either you or your friends could document this and perhaps snap a picture on your iPhone so that we can be 100% certain instead of 80%. And then
I want to say, you know what it is that prevents people from doing this is fear. Like, how much more trouble am I going to get myself into if I do this? Because at the end of the day, we as the people, like when it comes to anything that has to do with law enforcement, no matter what we do, we're still going to be in the losing end, because unless we have the right information and the tools that we need to fight back, we're not going to be able to do anything because you guys are always going to win.
Jimenez, if you're comfortable with it, only if you're comfortable with it, I'm putting you on hold. We'll take contact information from you off the air if you want to give it so that we can get other information from you to help further report this story, since you gave specific locations in Jamaica and things like that. That's up to you. But we're going to break, and we're going to continue in a minute with Caitlin Dickerson and Liz Robbins from The Times on the ICE raids in the last few days. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue with New York Times correspondents Liz Robbins, who covers immigration for the metro area, and Caitlin Dickerson, who is a national reporter. And we were just talking off the air about, well, you guys were reacting strongly to the callers who we've had so far who are in fear of or think there are actual sweeps going on or raids in public places, like, you know, various transportation hubs that got mentioned. Liz, what did you want to say about that?
Well, I did want to say that our mayor, Bill de Blasio, has made it very clear that New York City is a sanctuary city and that he would not deputize police officers to act as immigration officers. And that was something that President Trump's executive order did include and did authorize. And he finds, Mayor de Blasio finds that very problematic. And so police officers, the NYPD, will not be involved. And in fact, over the weekend, they confirmed that they were not involved at all of this. It was only federal officials. And as we were also just talking, and we had said before, that the immigration officials and agents are looking at people and they are looking at their routines. If perhaps they are at a bus stop, then maybe that is the best place. But for the most part, they are going to people's homes in the morning. That is, or in front of courthouses. Those are the two places.
To look for individuals.
Correct.
And you asked the last caller if the people he was seeing in Jamaica, Queens were wearing ICE uniforms.
Right.
Do they go uniformed?
Typically, they do go uniformed, although there have been some plainclothes apprehensions, including over the past week. And so you can't always tell, but typically they're wearing black and there are big block letters that say ICE on their backs. But I think what's become really clear recently is that all it takes is the sighting of one of those big white vans that says Department of Homeland Security on the side, and the sighting of something like that just ripples throughout neighborhoods, and the rumors start to flow, and it's really hard to calm people down.
Here's what Governor Christie said over the weekend about the raids.
Things always don't go perfectly. And so you're going to have some people who also, by the way, have violated the law, but don't fit that one category. But that will be the overwhelming minority in all this.
Governor Christie on CNN. And I guess he used the term overwhelming minority, and that gets back to the collateral damage, quote unquote, that you were talking about before, which used to be a term we hear in war when innocent people get killed, you know, by artillery or something when they're going after enemy soldiers. Here we're talking about people who are innocent other than their immigration status being swept up because they're in the same place as somebody who they're looking for because they have a violent criminal conviction, right?
Yes, and that's right. And I think it's a little early for us to say that the proportion of people who don't have any criminal record other than being here illegally are going to be the overwhelming minority. As we said, the numbers released from the Department of Homeland Security yesterday that wrapped up all of the enforcement efforts in the past week, those numbers included 75% with criminal records. So is 25% the overwhelming minority? I don't necessarily know. And again, when you read the executive order that President Trump signed in late January, it allows for the arrest of just about anybody who's here without authorization. So overwhelming minority, we'll have to wait and see on that.
Right. Is there it only takes a few being caught up in that way to terrorize probably every immigrant in the country who's unauthorized.
Certainly. And the stories of these targeted enforcement efforts are frightening to people because, as we said, ICE will typically show up at someone's house at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. because they know they're going to be home. But it's very dramatic. Kids are sleeping. They get woken up. Their parents are dragged out of the house, you know, not necessarily physically dragged, but taken from the home. Others are checked. Perhaps people who weren't even intended to be arrested are taken. And those stories, just like the sighting of a Department of Homeland Security van, too, spread throughout communities and really worry people.
Was there a policy under Obama to release people who were in that quote-unquote collateral damage category if they didn't have any other offense against them?
Well, the policies varied, and there was a certain amount of discretion that could be exercised under Obama by ICE officers. Then again, once you come to court, if you're put into deportation proceedings. And in many cases, people who weren't considered enforcement priorities were able to at least have their case deferred. So they weren't offered legal status, but they were offered what was called prosecutorial discretion, which allowed them to just sort of continue living under the radar. But that's not to say that people who didn't have criminal records were not deported under Obama. It's just not true.
Mary in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning. I'm wondering if anyone knows if there's any truth to the rumor that's kind of flooding my Facebook feed about undocumented folks finding out that they have been registered to vote through New York State DMV without their knowledge, thereby making them, in effect, illegal of committing a crime and a likelier target. And I'll take my answers off the air.
Okay. Well, it's a different story, but have either of you reported on that?
We have received that tip. We've got a couple of different ways for people to give us tips similar to the way they are right now, and we've looked into it and have not yet been able to verify any of those instances, but it's something that we've heard too. That's unfortunately the best we can do at this point.
So as we wrap up this segment, for you as New York Times reporters, are there ways that you want people to give you tips so that you can continue to report the fullness of this story without getting your sources in trouble?
Yes, absolutely. We have right on the homepage of the New York Times website an email address that you can write to. You can find my email address. This is Caitlin on my Twitter account, and I'm sure the same is for Liz.
Exactly. Robbins@nytimes.com.
And I guess what we learned from this segment is how much fear there is out there and how much panic is spreading through how many communities. It sounds like you two knew that coming in, but we certainly heard, you know, verbally graphic representations of it from multiple callers.
And it's very hard to calm people down when even we don't know the extent of what is happening. And we just would urge our listeners and our readers to be very vigilant, to send evidence. And if there is any way that you could tell us or verify what has happened and when, that would be most helpful.
Liz Robbins and Caitlin Dickerson, New York Times correspondents, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Maeve Higgins. Do you know her from Maeve in America? Stay with us.